All right. Trying to get those back where the guys had them. Too high, I think. All right, sound guys, does that look okay? Yeah? Okay, good morning. Good to see you here that ventured out. Thank you. We had our prayer time at 8:30 this morning, and we were certainly praying for safe travels for all. I know you took your time coming in, and you'll take your time going home, but thanks for being here. And we got a pretty good number of kids, don't we, for the Cherub Choir. All right. So, a couple announcements that I have to go over here. This is our Mission Fest Sunday. Ray DeLaurier made it from Edgeley, North Dakota. Of course, he came down yesterday afternoon before most of the snow hit, but he had some slow times traveling too. Not sure if he's going home today, but anyway, so he is our North Central Regional Pastor in the Four Seas. Some of you heard him in February. He did pulpit supply when Ann and I were in Haiti at that time. But today he's going to share more about that position. It is a new position in the Four Seas, and we're excited about it, excited to have him. So as you see, that 90% of the offering will go towards this position 10% will go to the FCA here at Menno High School. We've done that for a lot of years. If you're writing by check, as usual, just make that to the church, and then we'll distribute it out. From there, we do have dinner afterwards. You probably smelled it when you came in. For everybody, there is going to be plenty more than enough food. So please stay if you're able to. Pork loin sandwiches. Got baked beans from, I think, Lindy Korth's recipe, baked beans, which is pretty good. Dairy bar potato salad, ice cream. So please stay for that. The offering box, as you know, is in the back there, as it has been for several months. Remember, so this Saturday, this coming Saturday, is when you turn your clocks back an hour. Daylight savings time starts the next day. So remember to do that, please. Also, against the west wall in the social hall, there's a table with volunteer sign-up sheets for all kinds of things in the life of the church. Please look at those and see where you could help. As far as the Christmas boxes for Operation Christmas Child, you have until next Sunday. If you're going to bring those here to the church, those need to be here by next Sunday. If you want to do it on the website, you can do it all online. You can fill your box even online if you prefer that way. But those are amazing blessings to kids all around our world. I want to make sure you see in the insert there's an address for Troy Heckenleibel. You know, he's serving in the National Guards now. He's over in Africa for most of this. Well, he'll be there a year. So his address is there. There's some, you know, maybe you'd like to send him a care package. That'd be a wonderful blessing to him and the guys that he serves with. So think about that. One announcement that's not in the bulletin. Let's see. Okay, this says, please announce that next Sunday, the officers of the women of the church will hand ballots prior to church to vote. Are these ballots going to the women or to everybody? Huh? Women. To the women. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Women's suffrage 100 years ago, right? The men might protest. No, just kidding. They'll hand ballots prior to church to the women if we should have the soup kitchen, which is scheduled for December 5th. So I guess obviously, just trying to decide. We're going to have enough workers, enough that are going to be involved to make this happen, I think is a big part of it. So, okay, that'll be next Sunday. You get to vote on November 1st and again on November 3rd. Make sure you do vote on November 3rd. All right, last thing I just want to say, we had a great event last night with the men's event. Good turnout and a delicious supper and message from Pastor Ray and a time of worship. So thanks. Big thanks to Justin Plooster for coordinating that. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer this morning, please. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you. And we magnify your name, Lord God. You are the Ancient of Days. And Father, as we sang that last song, we think about seeing your throne and you and all of your glory. We think of seeing Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, face to face. And that is number one of our heart's desire, should be seeing you. And yes, certainly loved ones who have gone before, but what a glorious day that will be. But until then, we are so thankful that we are able to gather in this sanctuary and worship you together corporately. Thank you for bringing all in here safely that have desired to come. Lord, when the time comes to leave, we ask for your traveling mercies to be over all on the roads, on our sidewalks, that we would be extra careful. And we thank you for Ray being here with us today to share what you've placed on his heart. So, Father, most of all, we thank you for your Spirit and your wonderful presence to fill this sanctuary with your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's stand together as we'll sing our opening hymn. Did you notice the new lights are in up here over the piano? That brightened it up a lot, didn't it? So the accompanists, pianists are very thankful for that. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Before you're seated, give each other an air high five or elbows or however you want to do it. Whoops. All right. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here at this time. Some things that I have written down or have been asked to share about. First, Terry Seiler, she had surgery, boy, was it last Wednesday or Thursday, to put that ostomy bag, attach that in through her small intestine. So last I heard from Fred was on Friday, and she'd been released from the hospital, and they were just staying with Arlen for the weekend just so she would be near the hospital if things arose. So I haven't heard anything since then, so hopefully no news is good news in that situation. Nyla Billings, she had knee replacement surgery this last Tuesday, and she's coming along okay, but continue to pray for her recovery. Also, it's great to have Lee Palmerville back with us. Praise the Lord for that. And Pat's sister Jackie, who's been here for three months. She's going back to Oregon this coming Saturday, so we'll miss you, Jackie. I'm sure. Yeah, it's always good to have you here with us, so we pray for safe travels. And on that note, Lee and Pat's granddaughter, Tiffany, right? She had a double mastectomy. How long ago was that? Months ago, yeah, and there's been infections and more surgeries, and now November 4th, which she has to go back in for yet another surgery. So be lifting her up in prayer. That's got to be very, very difficult. I was asked for prayers for the Tyndall Nursing Home. They've had apparently quite a bit of challenge with COVID down there in their facility. So We want to pray for them and all of our nursing facilities. And in the whole time, it's especially difficult there. We've been fortunate so far here in Menno in that regard. Let me see. Oh, just prayers for Alfred Hauck. You know, that'd be Milo's older brother. He passed away a week ago. Last Sunday, his graveside service was yesterday. And we prayed last Sunday for Gerald Graham. He was in hospice and he passed. This would be Earl Schnabel's brother-in-law, classmates of some of you, Larry, Carl, maybe others. And then Earl's oldest sister, Irene, also passed away. So just be lifting them up in your prayers. Anything else? Got any birthdays here, kids? Guess not. Yes? Your dog's birthday was yesterday. What is his name? What's his name?
Buddy.
Buddy, you tell him happy birthday. Oh, and yours too. Piper and Buddy's birthdays were yesterday. All right. Anything else over here? Melanie. Cooper Ben's birthday is Tuesday. And how? 3. Okay, happy birthday, Cooper. Did I see it? Carrie Dyke. He did. Wow. Well, Carrie Dyke wanted to say thanks to all for your prayers and cards, visits, whatever, after her surgery. She's doing well. The big guy sitting next to her, Mr. Alan Dyke, our Dutchman, turned 50 on Wednesday. Happy birthday, Alan. Jeff. Yeah, what number? 42. Jeff and Linda Nuss will have their 42nd anniversary this coming Wednesday. Happy anniversary, Joanne. Yeah, right. Adrian Nuss had her 18th birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Adrian. Okay, over here. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all these kids up here. Thank you for the parents who are diligent to bring them, even in this snowstorm, Lord. Here they are, and they're excited, and we're excited to hear them sing and see the joy on their faces. Thank you for blessing them and their puppies on their birthdays, Lord, and just watching over them. And for the anniversaries mentioned and birthdays beyond, we thank you for each of these individuals, Lord. Thank you that Lee Palmerville is able to be back with us, and for your continued strength and healing throughout his body. We pray for Jackie as she flies back to Oregon on Saturday. We ask for safe travels for her. For Lee and Pat's granddaughter, Tiffany, we lift her up with that upcoming surgery once again. Father, we just pray over her and ask for that infection to be rid out of her body, Lord, in Jesus' name, once and for all. Thank you for giving her strength for the surgery that awaits. Lord, we pray for certainly the Tyndall Nursing Home, and I suppose there's others around too that are having difficult challenges with COVID coming in. And we know, Lord, that is our most vulnerable population. We pray over those, over ours here at Menno and all of our area nursing homes. For the residents, we ask for safety to them. Those that work there, we pray for safety and health for them. The administrators in these facilities with the challenging decisions they have to make every day. It's not an easy job. We pray the same for our school system. Lord, thank you for that we've done well overall here. And we pray the same for our students and staff and teachers, administrators. Give them wisdom in all of their decisions, for our community and the surrounding region. We just ask for healing, Lord, from this virus. Wisdom, be with the healthcare workers. We have many in our church who are out there on the front lines dealing with it day in and day out, all gowned and masked up and everything. And we thank you for your presence with them as they minister to those who are sick. Lord, we pray for Terry Seiler and Fred. We ask for healing there in that situation. For Terry Auk, a brain tumor there. For Jimmy Whale, a brain tumor there. And all these listed in the bulletin. We look to you, Jesus, as our great physician. For Nyla Billings, as she recovers from that knee surgery. And these families, Lord, who have lost loved ones. We know, Jesus, you proclaimed and declared you are the resurrection and the life. And because of you, we live. We live in eternity in heaven with you. And we thank you for your promises regarding that. Thank you for Ray being with us today, serving as our regional pastor. Bless him, his wife, and their family also. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to read from Isaiah 55 here, verses 10 and 11, during this time when we would receive our offering. I love these verses here. It says, as the rain and the snow, here we are, come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. This is God talking. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desired and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's God's word. Amen. Let's stand and we will sing the doxology. Praise God. Father, as we give today on this, our Mission Fest Sunday, we give to the FCA here at Menno High School, and we're so thankful for the favor we have and the privilege granted us to go in and meet every other week in the gym. We have a wonderful time, Lord, with the kids, and we thank you for it. For this position within the four C's of our regional ministers, we thank you that you have made a way for this to come about, a dream of years in the waiting and praying, and now we are seeing the fruit of it. So thank you, Lord, for your provision to continue on with Ray's position and others in various parts of our nation. We give to you, Lord, for your gospel, for your word to be proclaimed, and we thank you for blessing and multiplying these gifts in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, and the cherub choir is going to come. And special thanks to Ann Ramos and Deb Schmidt for playing and directing these little ones. These are 3 years old through third grade, so come on down. I'm sure we're missing several, but we got a good bunch here. Yeah.
love to.
If there's any other kids that want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, can come on down. Thank you, boys and girls. That was great. Thank you, Deb and Ann, for your time with them. I know it's been a challenge with kids being absent in the midst of everything, but hey, wonderful.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, boys and girls. Oh, that was really weak. Let's try it again. Ready? Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning. Oh,
I knew it was in you. Well, it's so good to see you, and you did so well on those songs. You really sang out. It was really neat. Well, today, I have a question for you, like I often do. What do you believe about God? He sent his son Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross for us, right? What else do we know about God? He will always be there for us. What? He never sinned. Jesus never sinned, right? No sin. What? A cross. Yeah, Jesus, we love him, don't we? Really? He always loves us. He is our Father in heaven, and he loves us so much. God is perfect. All of these awesome things about God, and he loves us so much, more than anybody, right? More than anybody. And so we said this about Jesus. Did God send Jesus to die on the cross for us and to live on earth and to show us about God? Did he? He did. Why did God send Jesus? To die on the cross for us. To show us first how much God loves us and how he wants a relationship with us. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us because we had sin in our lives, right? All of us, because of Adam and Eve. Well, those are wonderful things to know about God and Jesus. So one more question. What do you think God wants you and I to do with all this stuff we know about God? What does he want us to do? He wants us to read the Bible, that's right, and grow. And what else? He wants us to pray and have that relationship with him. What else? Do you have it? Well, I'm going to read to you what else he wants us to do with all this wonderful information we know and everything you guys said. Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission. Let me get to it. I didn't have it opened here. Sorry. Okay, here we go. This is what Jesus said before he went back up to heaven. He told us in verse 28:19, therefore, he said, therefore, that means we need to do this. He said, go into all the earth and make disciples. Go everywhere and tell everybody about God and about Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. Not just us, our parents, not just Pastor Mike or Pastor Ray, not just the elders or the deacons, not just your parents, but he wants you too. So this is kind of how I visualize it, all right? Everybody watch over here. This is a balloon, right? I'm going to pretend this is us. Say, this is me. That's weak, you guys. This is me. Okay, we're just like this balloon, right? We're nothing. But then God, when you read your Bible, when you pray, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he fills us. He fills us up. The more time we spend with him, the more he fills us up. And then guess what? He's going to say, this is what I want you to do. Woo, I want you to go way over there. And you're going to land there. Did he? Yeah. You're going to land there, and that might be the school you go to. You're in school. And so what does God, Jesus, want us to do in school? Tell others about him. Invite kids to church that don't go to church. Right? Tell them that you're going to pray for them. Those are a few things. All right? Here we go. Pray, read, love God. We get what?
Filled with him
and his power. Here we go. Here we go, God, use us. Woo, where did that one go? That one went further back, right? So pretend that one ended up at your grandparents' house or your cousin's house or somebody's house, your neighbor's, that doesn't know Jesus or that doesn't know how much he loves them. What does God want you to do? Tell them about him, right? Tell them about him. One more. And this is maybe when you get older, or maybe your brothers and sister have done this one. When you get bigger, you may go somewhere and you may go, oh my gosh, way over there. That's way over there. That could be on a mission field. You know, our high schoolers and sometimes our younger even kids get to go on a mission field. Like we take ours sometimes to the Native American reservations. And what do we do there? Tell them about Jesus. Share God's love with them. And we also bring things to them. And we even do that in Sioux Falls at the Union Gospel. And sometimes our kids are involved in serve, and they even go all over the place, right? So you know what? And sometimes the balloon, we get filled. Last one. See if I can make it land right here. Whoop. It lands right here. You know what that means? Wherever you are, at home, being homeschooled, at preschool, at school, wherever you are, what does God want us to do? Share about Jesus. Okay? You going to remember that? You guys want a balloon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to wait, though. Okay, wait. I can't give it to you. I have orders from pastor that I can't give it to you until after church, all right? You see me after church, and you will get your balloon. Let's pray. Ready? Close your eyes. Fold your hands. Lord, we love you so much, and we're so grateful for these boys and girls here. Just bless them this week, Father. Let them know how much you love them. And wherever they go this week, Lord, help them to remember to tell others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. And yes, parents, you can thank me later. So you don't have to battle the balloon all through church, right? So we're excited here this morning to have Pastor Ray with us. We'll let the kids get back to their seats. But certainly been a joy for Ann and I to get to know him and you as you've got to hear him before. Yep, you get the balloon after church, the kids. So, Pastor Ray, if you want to come and... Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Ann, can I have a balloon too?
You may.
Okay.
I'll give you one.
Excellent. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning on a beautiful day to gather together to worship God and to give him our very best. And special thank you to all of you for your invitation to come last night and be a part of the wonderful men's gathering that we had last evening. It was a marvelous time of worship and praising the Lord and opening his word and thinking about some deep things of God. And I appreciated being there very much and appreciate being with you on your Mission Fest for 2020. And I know it's been a struggled year and all kinds of things happening, but I'm so impressed and happy that you're meeting and you're still carrying through with this Mission Fest weekend to set your mind beyond the four walls of this church. And when I was here in February, it was just pulpit supply, and I didn't have an opportunity to really introduce myself and tell you very much about myself, so I want to just take a few minutes to do that this morning. I was not raised in a Christian home. I actually was raised in a rather worldly sinful home, and it was just normal. Didn't know anything other than that. I came to faith my junior year at Sacramento State University through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, Josh McDowell, back in the 80s. If you've heard of him, he wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And he was going around to university campuses preaching the gospel. And the very first time I heard the gospel, I believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and went home to share with my family the following weekend. And that did not go well because I wasn't as gentle as I should have been. And to this day, I'm still the only Christian in my family. I'm kind of the outcast because of my faith in Christ, and that's okay. I have a new family now. All of you part of the new family of God that I'm a part of, and I'm so grateful for that. After I came to faith in Christ, I graduated college. I worked as a hazardous materials specialist for the California State Health Department for 6 years. Couldn't stand working in state government. It made me crazy. So the Lord was working in my life. I was involved in all kinds of ministries at the church. In 1989, went to Western Conservative Baptist Seminary in Portland, Oregon, and got my Master of Divinity degree. And the third year, I started an interim pastor ministry at a neighborhood church that I was living in. And finished the seminary while still pastoring, was ordained by the Northwest Conservative Baptist Association. Studied in Israel for 3 weeks, which was a marvelous time. And along the way, a few years later, got a Doctor of Ministry degree from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. And I've been pastoring in a local church for 28 years before being asked to be the North Central Regional Pastor, which has been a position just 14 months now that I have been in this position. And there are 86 churches in 10 upper Midwest states. So I have within this region the eastern half of Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Illinois. So there's a lot of traveling involved, and I feel like a missionary. The first Sunday of this month, I was preaching in two churches in eastern Wisconsin, in the near the town of Plymouth. I did a Wisconsin pastor's retreat, speaking on healthy pastors. The second Sunday, I was in southwest corner of Iowa in a church in Trainer, Iowa. Spent the weekend there. Last Sunday in Beulah, North Dakota, doing Mission Fest there. This Sunday here, next Sunday out in eastern Montana. So I feel like a missionary going from place to place and enjoying the work very much. One of the things that I have found out and I've believed for a long time that properly thinking and missionary thinking as we think about missions, that every single church, rightly understood, is a missions outpost. And we need to look at our church. You need to look at this church as a missions outpost. Every Christian gathered together in the church has the same purpose. We learned last night that before time began, God gave you His purpose. And God's purpose, of course, is to bring redemption to His creation. Therefore, your purpose is to join God in His work in furthering the redemption of unsaved men and women and boys and girls. Every church then has the same purpose, to extend God's redemption not only around the church, but then farther areas out as well. The reality is that a lot of churches have lost that vision. They've lost that purpose. And as a result of losing that purpose for which they exist, they begin to do all kinds of other things. And as the years go by, they start focusing on the other things. And they're less and less a church and more something else. It would be like if your local restaurant Roosters here decided as part of our business model, we're going to start fixing trucks and tractors as well. And we're going to bring them into the restaurant and fix them. And, well, that might be an interesting idea, but it's not the purpose for which they exist. And the purpose for which they exist then will become lost. And it won't be a restaurant anymore. It will become a repair facility. And so the purpose for which they originally began just wouldn't happen. They would end up closing the restaurant. One of the problems we have in the United States, and the numbers are difficult to ascertain very precisely, but current research says that there are 5,000 churches close their doors every year in this country. Imagine that. 5,000 churches are going to close every year from all the denominations that are out there. And most of the denominations have no idea how to make it stop. In fact, many of the denominations are coming to the four C's and saying, "We heard you have a ministry that will help churches not close their doors. Can you help us help our churches?" And we're very happy to do that. Most of the denominations offer little help. And the ministry will decrease and decrease and decrease. And the church will eventually close. Now, I want to congratulate you and congratulate Pastor Michael and your church leadership here. You're one of the stronger churches in the entire region. So congratulations. You're doing this ministry properly and correctly. But others aren't. There are churches that are down to 10 people, down to 20 people that have a part-time pastor. And when I go to visit them and sit down with the church board and say, "Would you like to be well? Would you like to be healthy? Would you like to grow again this ministry and have the sanctuary filled?" I've had the response, "No, thank you. We're just fine. We're just fine." And I have to say, "We can help you. Do you want to be well?" "No, we're just fine." I say, "You have 15 people attending, and the average age is 80, and this can be turned around." "No, no, no, thank you. Things are just fine." And I have to say, "Do you realize that you're going to close?" And I want you to know that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when churches close, because I believe the local church, a strong, healthy ministry in the local church, is the only hope our communities have. And only hope our county has, and our state, and our nation, is a strong and powerful local church ministry. And when churches close the door because they just cannot continue anymore, it's a heartbreaking thing. It's a heartbreaking thing. And the Apostle Paul, I want to share this passage with you this morning, tells us a little about this in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Tells us the reason that he sent this young pastor out into that little island nation to help the churches. He says these words, For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you today. I'm reading out of the New King James. I understand you have the NIV up there. I sent you in Crete. I left you there that you would straighten things out in the churches, that which is lacking or what is unfinished. And in every town I appointed you to establish a church leadership, because the churches didn't have a leadership. And so we have two things there, and it's part of my ministry to help churches in these two basic areas, to set in order things that are lacking. It is the absence of what is essential for a church to be healthy, and then to help them with a church leadership. So the church leadership is healthy, the pastor's healthy, and to help them understand what is lacking, why is it that you have 20 members left and really no ministry going on except a short worship service every morning. I asked the leader of a church, they're down to 10, and I asked him, so what do you do and on Sunday morning, and what is your ministry? And he says, well, we just sing a few songs and read a few verses of the Bible, and then we go to the cafe. And I said, are you satisfied with that? Oh, yeah, we're quite happy with that. I'm like, well, what ministries do you do? That's all. And I had to say, you know, you're going to close. And, well, that's okay. That's okay. But we have a heritage of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us, has established these ministries in these churches. And we see that there are some things lacking. And that's what Paul said. Basically, he just says two things, set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders, appoint a strong leadership. The churches that lost their way haven't had a good leadership. So Titus was sent there to strengthen them and hopefully to set things back in order because they've become disorderly. And as a missions outpost, we can't do the missionary work, even that we heard for the children this morning. To be a missionary in our own sphere of influence, wherever you go, during your daily routine, that's your mission field. That's where God has sent you with His purpose and His grace to tell people about eternal life, that there is a God who will save us. So Titus is to set in order that which is lacking. And the same thing is a reality in the churches today. There's a lot of things that are lacking in churches, and the leadership needs to be strengthened. A couple of things that are lacking is that I try to help churches reestablish is a culture of believing prayer and intercession. Do you know the prayer meeting is almost non-existent in most churches now? How many of you remember prayer meeting? Wednesday night, Sunday morning? Remember, this is a spiritual endeavor. This is the body of Christ. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If Jesus is the one who builds the church, it's imperative that the church be gathered to pray and to beseech the Lord to grow us in our faith so that He would be pleased to grow the church. It is such a powerful thing, believing prayer and intercession. I was visited a church a number of years ago when I was pastoring in Portland, Oregon. And there was this church in Oregon that was growing faster than any other church. And so a bunch of us pastors went there to meet with the pastor and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it was a pastor who really didn't have any Bible college or training. He'd grown up in that church, grown up in that town, the town of Jefferson, Oregon. And the church called him to be the pastor because they recognized the spiritual ability that he had. And he said, I don't even know what a pastor is supposed to do, but I do know this. We are going to gather and we are going to pray. And that's what they did. And they started gathering, and they started to pray for people in that community by name to come to faith in Jesus. And the prayer meeting started growing, and people started coming to faith in Jesus, and the church started growing, and they started praying for those people's friends, the new believers. And after a couple of years, in this town of 900 people, Jefferson, Oregon, 700 people were attending Jefferson Baptist Church. And what were they doing? They were praying. So when you have a prayer meeting in church, 8:30 Sunday morning, come. Come and pray. Because your prayers will move the hand of God to change the hearts of people as you're out there in your daily life activities telling them about Jesus. Pray for them by name. Bring in a card with people's names and pray for them that they would get saved and God would use you. That is one of the things that is missing in churches today, things that are lacking. People don't pray. They might pray at home, and that's good, but they don't gather to pray for people to be saved. What is lacking is healthy pastors and church boards. There are some pastors that are okay with closing the door of their church. And I'm like, excuse me? You're okay with that? Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's really quite easy. And they're okay with that. There are church boards that are not healthy. They're fighting with one another. They're trying to control everything. Individuals are controlling this and controlling that. And there's conflict in the church board that bleeds over into the church. They're not healthy. They're not doing ministries. They're fighting with each other. That's unhealthy. Church won't grow that way. Outreach and disciple making. It should just be a normal course of life. In the church I pastored in California, it started at 39, and we started this. What we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we're going to tell people about Jesus and help them grow in their faith. So we started praying. People started coming to faith in Jesus, and I made it mandatory for membership that you take an evangelism class. One Saturday, we'll feed you lunch. And we taught people how to share their faith in Jesus in a 5-minute conversation where you just ask questions, no argument, nobody's mad, everyone's happy when you leave, and that person knows that they stand judged by God and they need a Savior, and you told them about Jesus. Takes 5 minutes. And got everybody in the church to take that class. I taught the Awana kids, the 5th and 6th graders, high school kids, taught them all how to do it. The kids were doing it at the school. The church grew from 39 to 300 in a couple of years. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Disciple making. It's just helping somebody follow Jesus and do what Jesus says. A shared life and mission together is another thing that is lacking. Just sharing life together. We had a great discussion in Sunday school this morning. We don't share life too much anymore where we're really getting to know each other and sharing about how we're walking with Jesus. How you doing? How's your walk with Jesus? We keep that personal. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to tell anybody. But as I said in Sunday school class, a dirty little secret in the church is this. All of you stumble and you sin. Your pastor knows that. All of you know each other stumbles and each other sin. You all know that. Your pastor knows that. All of you know your pastor stumbles and he sins. You all know that. We all know that sometimes we stumble, but we pretend that we don't. How you doing? Fine. Fine. Oh, I'm fine. And we know sometimes we're not fine. Sometimes we are in that spiritual dry place, that desert, and we don't even know why God doesn't hear my prayers anymore. We feel alone. We come to church. How you doing, Pastor Ray? Oh, I'm fine. Fine. We've lost that sharing of life together and helping each other live this Christian life. That if you've lived it for very long at all, you know that there are times when this life is not easy. In fact, it's a war. It's a war. It's a battle. Put on the full armor of God. We know it's a battle. And I need help. I need help to walk this Christian life, to walk with Jesus. You need help too. Your pastor needs help. And we need to learn to, it's okay to share our life together and not be shocked when somebody says, you know, can you pray for me? I am really struggling with this sin. Well, the reality is probably half of us are struggling with it too. Let me pray for you. Doesn't mean it's a bad person. Stumbling into sin doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're a human being. And we need to help each other, sharing our life together. The other thing that is lacking in a lot of churches is peacemaking and reconciliation. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Children of God. That's what Jesus was. God the Son making peace between us, the rebels, and the Holy God. We are called to be peacemakers, to be at peace with one another. The New Testament talks about that over and over and over and over and over and over again. To be at peace with one another, to be reconciled to one another. And the Bible tells us exactly how to do that. But we don't. Because it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Somebody has sinned against you. Somebody has hurt you really bad. Bible says go to them. Talk to them face to face. And most of us, if we have obeyed that passage of Scripture, we say, that didn't work. There was a big fight. And then the fight started. You've seen those jokes? And then the fight started. I'm not going to do that again. It's a whole attitude of how to live this Christian life that we ought to be peacemakers. Not only that we are reconciled to our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we have conflict, and the joy of it is to look at conflict differently. How many of you like conflict? Wow, look at all those hands. Not a one. But look at it this way. It is an opportunity, another opportunity to see the power of the gospel work in people's lives, to be reconciled to one another through love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. This is a gospel at work, and it's working among us so we can work it with those who are at war with God. The Four C's has a seminar in biblical peacemaking. I'm giving one of those in December at a church in Illinois. I appreciate your prayers for that, because this is a different concept for a lot of people. Empowering leadership is also that which is lacking in churches. Notice that I did not say empowered leadership, but it is empowering leadership. It is a leadership of the church board, the consistory, whatever you call them, that is empowering the people of the church to use their spiritual gifts to do the work of ministry. It's not just the pastor doing the work of ministry. It's not just some leaders. It is everybody using the spiritual gifts that God has given to you to do the work of ministry, and that leaders are empowering you to do that. When a church is doing that, everybody's involved in the work of ministry, and everybody's happy because everybody's needs are being met. There's a lot less conflict in the church, and when a visitor comes in, they can feel it. They can sense it. They can feel if there's conflict. They can feel if there's anger and bitterness, and people just don't like each other. They can feel the conflict, and they're coming here to get away from the world that is full of conflict. And is there a place I can just have rest from this conflict? I need peace. And so they come to a church. Will they find it? Will they find it? Empowering leadership and gift-based ministries, that you using your gifts to do the work that God has called you to do, your way, not somebody else's way. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Please, please love each other enough to understand that when somebody else is doing a work of ministry using their spiritual gift led by the Holy Spirit, they believe God wants them to do that. Please, please never go up to them and complain and criticize them with a criticism that, well, it could have been done differently. Never do that, please. God led them to do it this way. that is the worst thing to say, because that person, maybe even if you were that person, said, I'm not going to do any ministry again. I'm going to show up and go home because I was criticized that it could have been done differently. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I cannot think of one activity that there's only one way to do it. Can you? How many ways can you do the dishes? There's a lot of ways to do the dishes. Is the way that I'm doing it by washing them in the sink with soapy water, is that wrong because I could have done it differently? Well, yeah, I could have, but I did it this way. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. So that whole argument, well, it could have been done differently, is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Just stop that if you ever did it. If you did that to somebody, after the service, go and apologize and ask for their forgiveness, please, because maybe they haven't served the Lord since. And that's a shame. That's a shame. The last thing I have on my list that we're after in churches that are lacking, and I don't need to tell you this because you guys have this down. Absolute bullseye. Inspiring worship services. Worship services need to be inspiring, that lift people up, to help us connect with God and to give to God the honor and glory and blessing and power and might that is due His name. We read about that in the great scenes of worship in the book of Revelation, that it's really all about giving to God. That's what worship service is about. And it begins at the very beginning from the first song. It is worship until the benediction. The whole thing is worship. It is a story that we come into the presence of God, that we give Him the honor and glory due His name, and then we pray and seek His face, and then He speaks to us through His word so we know what He would like from us. The whole thing is worship. The whole thing is worship, and it's meant to inspire. And so the Four Seas Conference helps ministries to help churches to be well through what we call the natural church development, which begins with a survey that you folks in the church would take. And what that does is it is what's going on in the church from your perspective, so we can figure out from that survey that which is lacking. What is lacking? What is the problem? And I work with pastors and church boards and congregations and leaders of the conference to figure out where churches are lacking, and so that they're no longer healthy and that they're shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And so we try to identify those things so we can start increasing their health to begin to be healthy again, to fulfill their purpose again, so that people would start coming with the ultimate goal that they would be able to be a healthy enough church that they would plant another church in their region with some of the members of the existing church, maybe 10 miles down the road or wherever it is, you plant another church. Maybe in Mitchell. They need a good church there. Whatever it is. And so what we're trying to do is to take this whole national ministry of church development and church multiplication, bringing it down to the state level. And we're well on our way in the state of Iowa, where we have an area pastor. Pastor Michael is the area pastor for South Dakota that deals with the other pastors and helps them spiritually, as a spiritual companion with them. We have a church developer or an NCD coach and a church planter in each state, because those individuals love their state. And on the national level, I mean, it's far away. The national church multiplier, the national church development guy, they're far away from Menno, South Dakota. And I'm closer, but I also have 10 states and 86 churches. So I get these positions down in each state and help the churches in each state be healthy. I've been doing this for 14 months now, and just to give you a report on the last 14 months, I've had 161 contacts with pastors and conference leaders and church boards and people in the congregation sometimes face-to-face, on Zoom, telephone calls, sometimes more than once. I've been here to South Dakota 4 times in the last 3 months, so because I'm close, I keep coming back to the South Dakota churches. I've visited 36 churches since I've been the regional pastor. I've done the Sunday morning sermon 25 times in those churches, and the other 10, I gave a conference presentation to help them understand what is going on with the Four Seas Conference and how the local church can connect so that we can help each other be healthy so we can plant churches in our region. That's what really the Four Seas is all about. And that's my role in it. I'm very happy to be in that role after pastoring local churches for 25 years. I feel like a missionary. Every church is different, and it's a real blessing for me to go and visit these churches. Does anyone have any questions? Well, if you think of any questions, I'll be downstairs enjoying the meal. So let's close in a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we come before you this morning just thanking you and praising you that you are God and there is no other. We recognize that in you and in you alone, we live, we move, we have our being. And in this fallen world, we are always tempted to be God of our own existence. And it never works. We seek our own way. We seek our own desires. We seek our own opinions. And sometimes in the church, we seek to control other people, failing to understand that only God can control people. Only God can control situations and circumstances. And so, Father, we come before you this morning to proclaim you are God, and we are not. And you have called us to be your servants. You have adopted us into your family to be your sons and daughters. And we would pray, Father, that you would help us to trust you, to believe that you know what you're talking about, to believe that your word is the best way. It is the eternal best for us. To believe that the church is the body of Christ. That Jesus says, I will build my church, that it belongs to him. And he builds it his way. And our role is to participate in the building his way, according to his words. Not what we want, not how we want it, not the way that makes me look good. His way. It's the right way. It's the best way. And when we are loving one another as Christ has loved us, and when we are at peace with one another as peacemakers, and we're growing in our faith to be conformed to the image of Christ, then Jesus, we know that you will strengthen this church. This will be a healthy church, and it will be a growing church. And many men and women and boys and girls will come to a saving faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ray. Yes. Appreciate it. Thank you. As you can see, Ray is a busy man traveling around. It's interesting to sit in the pew during the sermon. I do have to say that when you made the comment about there's more than one way to wash dishes, my wife kicked me. So I'm not quite sure what that means, but we'll talk about it later. Let's stand. We'll sing our closing hymn here. Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. And before we sing God Bless America, let me just have a prayer for the meal, all right? And then, Father, thank you for this day, for the what message that Ray shared with us, for the children singing in every part of the service, and for the meal that's been prepared. It smells so good. Thank you for those that have worked hard on it. We ask that you bless this food to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. And bless our time of fellowship. And again, watch over each one as we leave from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So as a prayer for our nation, we sing God Bless America. May be seated. God bless you all. Stay for dinner, please. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. And the sound crew back there, too. You come. Yeah.